Welcome once again to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host, and this week we bring you Boy Meets Girl, starring Gene Kelly, Frank Lovejoy, and Ruth Gilbert. This is a radio adaptation of the charming 1935 romantic comedy stage play by Sam and Bella Spiewak, which was also made into a movie in 1938. Boy Meets Girl was first broadcast on ABC by Theatre Guild on the Air, May 26, 1946.
United States Steel Corporation, the world's greatest maker of steel, identified by the familiar USS trademark, invites you to listen to the Theatre Guild on the Air production of Boy Meets Girl by Bella and Samuel Spiewak, starring Gene Kelly as Bob Law and featuring Frank Lovejoy as Tom Benson and Ruth Gilbert as Susie Seabrook. And now, here is Lawrence Langner, co-director with Teresa Halbern of the Theatre Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, to introduce the play. Mr. Langner.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. The Theatre Guild on the Air, having just returned from Hollywood, it seems appropriate that our first play back in New York should be about Hollywood. Boy Meets Girl is generally considered the funniest of all the comedies which have been written on this subject. The plot of our play is one of the oldest in the world. It began when Adam met Eve. It continued when Romeo met Juliet, when Prince Charming met Cinderella, and when Gable met Garson. Tonight, the theater and screen star Gene Kelly, who made his first acting appearance with the Theatre Guild, is playing a Hollywood author. Frank Lovejoy plays his partner in crime, while the girl who meets the boy is Ruth Gilbert.
And now, the 500,000 stockholders and employees of United States Steel invite you to listen to the Theatre Guild on the Air production of Sam and Bella Spiewak's rollicking farce, Boy Meets Girl, starring Gene Kelly. Well, here I am back in Vermont again after 6 years in Hollywood writing for the movies. It's a great feeling not to be doing that stripe. To be able to sit down and write anything that comes into my head without having the police, the producer, the executive producer, the sound man, the cutter, my secretary, and the washroom attendant. You know what happened to me, don't you? Well, 6 years ago, I wrote a couple of short stories. They were pretty good, and somebody out at the rear guard studio read one of them. Just to prove to himself he could read, I suppose. And they signed me to a contract. I went out for 3 months. I stayed 6 years. So I know Hollywood. When I got out there, they teamed me up with a veteran movie writer named Benson. We became great friends because Benson and I both liked practical jokes. Like the one we pulled on Mr. Kalbfleisch at Rear Guard, for example.
Now, listen, Benson, and you, Law. I've been producing moving pictures for 30 years. Yes, Benson.
31, Mr. Kalbfleisch. We looked you up in Who's Who. You're the man that turned down Mary Pickford.
And Charlie Chaplin.
And never in my 30 years experience... 31? ...did I ever have anything like this happen to me. What kind of monkey business, what kind of loyalty is it when two writers on this lot take out our biggest female star, the biggest moneymaker in the studio, and get her drunk in public?
She got us drunk.
And then... not satisfied with your dirty work, you sell her a bill of goods. The picture she's making is a turkey, and she ought to quit the movie business, try to get a job as an extra with a Broadway show. I ask you, is that loyalty?
But, boss, it is a turkey.
And we ought to know. We wrote
that
it.
That picture is colossal. And Marianne Laverne is not going to New York. She's going to stay right here. But you're not. You're fired.
From Rear Guard, Benson and I went to Artistic and then to Mutual. We finally landed at Royal, and what happened to us there shouldn't happen to a dog. It all started one day in CF's office, Mr. CF Friday for you. He was our producer. Anyway, Benson and I were supposed to be working on a story for an overage cowboy named Larry Toms. We were late with a script, and this jerk, I mean actor, came in with his agent, one Rossetti, to find out what was holding things up.
Now, listen, fellas, you're writing a story for me. Now, what I want to know is, what's it about? I'm asking you, Benson.
Larry, you want to know what this story is about? I'll give it to you in one word. Love.
Love is the sweetest thing.
Now, come on, fellas, this ain't fair. This is the last picture in my contract. If I get a poor story, well, I'm out in the cold.
I can just see you freezing to death with $1 million annuity.
Now, gentlemen, do not let us get personal.
That was his agent, Benson. Do we have to listen to agents?
Not this one, not the louse that double-crossed us on our contract.
Now, look here, fellas. When they told me Larry was getting the star team of writers on the lot, I was all for it. But you two fellas have done nothing but clown around, and the shooting day's only 2 weeks off. Larry's got to play this picture.
Why?
Oh, fellas, please. Now, just explain the story to me again. I couldn't follow it.
You couldn't follow it? Listen, actor, I've been writing stories for 11 years. Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl.
Or sometimes we make use of a very ingenious twist. Girl meets boy. Girl loses boy. Girl gets boy. Love will find a way. Benson, I'm getting hungry.
All I gotta say is, it's a sorry state of affairs when an actor insists on following a story.
Yeah, one more crack like that and I'm going back to Vermont. Gee, I bet there's snow there now. Real snow.
Good morning.
Oh, look who's here. The boss's secretary. Come here, Miss Cruz, and sit in my lap. I want to dictate.
Miss Cruz, what's keeping Mr. Friday? Now, this is a story conference. If he's a producer, he ought to be here.
D.F. was upstairs with B.K. He's on his way down.
Come here, beautiful. Right over here in Palmer's lap. Come on, honey. Give me a breath. Oh, honey, girl, you know.
Good morning.
Hi, boys. Good morning.
Boys, please, no antics. We got a heavy day ahead of us. Miss Cruz, sit outside that door and don't let anybody in unless it's a matter of life and death.
Very well, Mr. Friday.
Where the devil's that phone? Hello, operator? This is C.F. Friday. I don't want to be disturbed by anybody. You understand? And order some lunch. A plate of raw carrots and a bottle of certified raw milk. See that it's raw. Bring some for everybody. Now,
just a moment, C.F. Operator. Operator, Mr. Benson and Mr. Law want 2 cups of chicken broth, some pork tenderloin, cabbage, lemon meringue pie, and some bicarbonate soda. Now, what were you saying, C.F.?
Boys, I have just seen the front office. We are facing a crisis. There may be a reorganization.
Again?
And you know my position. I'm the only college bred man in the studio. They resent me.
The big snob.
Just because I've always tried to do something fine, something dignified, something worthwhile, I'm being hammered on all sides. Boys, if my next picture fails, I'm out. And you're out, Larry. And it won't do you boys any good either. Of course, you could always write Broadway plays.
I don't see why not. We never wrote any.
I got an idea for a play I want to discuss with you sometime. You'll be wild about it. Catherine Cornell would be marvelous for the girl. She dies in the first act.
Mr. Friday.
I told you, Miss Cruz, I don't want to see anybody unless it's a matter of life and death.
Your manicurist is here.
Oh, send her in.
Hello, Peggy.
I mean, Miss Harper.
Good morning, C.F. I mean, Mr. Friday.
You can work on me while I'm telling these writers.
What were you telling us, C.F.?
Boys, we need a big picture. Something fine, with sweep, with scope, stark, honest, gripping, adult, but with plenty of laughs and a little hokum.
Excuse me, Mr. Friday. The casting department wants to know how many midgets you need.
Midgets? I don't need any midgets.
Casting said you ordered midgets and they got them.
They're crazy. Send them away.
Yes, Mr. Friday.
Now, what was I saying?
You were just saying that the little job we did for Larry is probably one of the greatest scripts ever written.
Now, just
and
a minute.
And do you know why, C.F.? Because it's the same story this jerk, I mean our good friend Larry Toms here, has been doing for years.
Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl.
The great American fairy tale. Sends the audience back to their slums in a happy frame of mind.
Well, of course, if you put it that way, but boys, it's a little hackneyed, isn't it?
Hackneyed?
You mean classic.
Let's ask your manicurist. What's her name?
Peggy. I mean Miss Harper.
Oh, thank you. Now, Peggy, you're the typical American audience. Would you like to see Larry Toms in a different story?
I got a toothache.
But, Peggy, you go to pictures, don't you?
Nah.
But you've seen Larry's pictures and enjoyed them as millions of others have?
Nah.
Why, one man sent him a rope all the way from Manila with instructions.
Now, wait a minute, you.
Boys, boys, this isn't getting us anywhere.
Just one moment, C.F. I'll take over the witness. Young lady, do you mean to sit there and testify that you haven't seen one Larry Toms picture?
I saw one.
Aha.
It was called Night in Death Valley.
So, this isn't getting us anywhere, huh, C.F.? Young lady, how would you like to see Night in Death Valley again with a new title?
It would turn my stomach. The other hand, dear, I mean C.F., I mean Mr. Friday.
Extra from wardrobe, Mr. Friday. Go on in, you.
Thank you. Mr. Friday?
What do you want?
A wardrobe sent me. Do you approve the uniform I'm wearing?
Uniform for what?
Why, the new picture you're producing, Young England.
You see, Larry, 3 pictures in production, all going on at the same time. I'm standing on my head. And then they wonder what's wrong with the industry. You, stand over there. I don't like that hat.
The hat is authentic, sir.
I still don't like it. Hello? Yeah? What midgets? I didn't send out any call for midgets. Get rid of them. Hello. You, operator, get me wardrobe. Wardrobe, this is CF. I don't like the hat. What hat? The Young England hat. That's what hat. I don't care if it is authentic. Change it.
Well, if I may say
go
something,
go back to wardrobe. Tell him I don't like the hat.
Well, it's very peculiar that you should take umbrage at a hat, Mr. Friday. It so happens to be the only correct item in the entire costume.
It does, huh? What's your salary?
As I understand it, I'm to receive $7 a day.
And you're telling a $50,000 a year man how to run his picture? What's your name?
Rodney Bevan.
Rodney Bevan, huh? Hello, operator? Give me casting. Hello, casting? This is CF. Extra here by the name of Rodney Bevan doesn't like his uniform. Fire him.
Oh, but Mr. Friday, I merely suggested...
Mr. Green and Mr. Slater outside.
I don't want to hear any music.
Well...
CF, we got it, and you're going to listen. If you don't like it, von Bernberg's nuts about it. We wrote it for Young England, but it's flexible...
Boys, I am in no mood to pay you extra. Get out. Get out. You're fired.
Very well, sir. But I'll prove you're wrong about the hat, sir. It is authentic.
Listen to this, CF. Okay, Otto, shoot it to him.
You promised love undying and begged me to believe. Then you left and left me crying with a pain in my heart.
Now
and
listen,
heart
CF,
on
listen.
My,
my name's Larry Toms, remember? I'm a star. I work for Biograph. I've worked for Artistic. I've worked for Mutual. But a screwier outfit than this I never did see. You, Rosetti, you're my agent. Now do something about this.
CF, we came here for a conference. What about Larry's story?
Listen, boss, get the middle section. Sing it, Otto.
Yes, I've been kissed, but like Oliver Twist, I'm still trying for...
Stop it! Stop it! I don't want to hear any music. Get out!
Okay, CF, we'll come back after lunch. Come on, Otto.
Now listen, everybody. We've had enough of this. We are now going into a story conference right here in this room, and nobody budges until we come up with a story for Larry.
But, CF...
Shut up, Vincent. Not a word. The first one who opens his mouth...
Here's Susie with the lunch.
Tell her to take it away.
Tell her to bring it right in. Come on in, Susie.
Good morning, everybody.
Grub, Susie, I love you. Oh. What's the matter, Susie? You look funny.
Here, Susie, let me help you with that flag.
Oh, please, Mr. Law, be careful. Oh, please, Mr. Benson.
Hey, put it right down.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Benson. That's all right, Mr. Law. It's not very heavy.
Oh, the love of mine.
She fainted.
The little lady seems to be upset.
Upset? Maybe dropped dead in my office.
Hello. Hello, operator. Operator, get the doctor over here right away. It's an emergency.
Give me some water. Somebody.
In my office. Who is this girl, anyway?
Come on, Susie. Come on, baby. Come on. Give me a hand, Bob. We'll put her on the cover.
Say, she's not bad to look at. Kind of cute. Funny, I never noticed that before.
Oh, look, she's coming out of it.
Oh, Mr. Law, Mr. Benson, I'm sorry. Did I forget anything? The napkins, maybe.
Never mind that, Susie. Here now, you stay where you are.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Law.
Here, drink this.
Thanks, Mr. Benson.
What's wrong with you, young woman? Is this a plot? Did someone from another studio pay you to come in here and drop dead on my brand new rugs?
Never mind this hooligan, Susie. The doctor will be right over.
Oh, did you call for a doctor? You didn't have to.
Tell me, young woman. Do you get these spasms very often?
CF, I resent your tone to this unfortunate young woman.
Shut up. This is my office. This is my rug. And this was supposed to be my lunch. I repeat, young woman, what's wrong with you?
Well, there's nothing wrong. It's only natural.
Only natural for you to come into my office and collapse on the floor?
CF, I don't like your tone.
Oh, no, sir. It's only natural for you not to feel so good. When you're going to have a baby.
A baby?
Susie's going to have a baby.
A baby? Where's that phone? Hello, operator? Tell that doctor not to come. I won't have my office converted into a maternity ward. Young woman, I don't think very much of your husband letting you work at a time like this.
Oh, but I haven't got a husband.
Huh? What's that?
And now you all better eat your lunch before it gets cold. Are you sure you've all got napkins?
The new generation. What courage. What honesty. I haven't got a husband, she says. It's only natural, she says. I'm going to have a baby, she says. Oh, Susie, you're magnificent.
I'm quitting at the end of the week, so I thought I'd tell everybody why. I wouldn't want them to think I was discontented.
Susie, can we be godfathers, Bob and I?
Oh, why, Mr. Benson, Mr. Law. Oh, do you really mean it?
Now, boys, enough of this.
Do we mean it? We haven't got a baby, and we've been collaborating for years.
It'd be wonderful for Happy to have writers for Godfather.
Happy? Who's he?
Oh, I'm going to call him Happy, even if he's a girl, because I want him to be happy.
What a magnificent thought. Hello. Hello, operator. Get me the Pavilion Hospital and make it happy. Snappy.
Mr. Law, what are you doing? I can't afford...
Oh, yes, you can, Susie. We're going to give you the finest... Hello. Hello, Dr. Marks,
now,
please.
Listen, boys, enough of this tomfoolery.
Hello, hello, Willie. This is Law of Law and Benson.
Benson and Law.
Listen, Willie, reserve the best suite in the house for us. A little friend of ours is going to have a baby, and we want the most colossal accouchement you've got in stock.
Day and night nurse.
What? What? Who's going to pay? Why, the studio, of course.
We'll do no such thing.
What kind of a gag is this?
Listen, C.F., Susie is one of our oldest friends. She's entitled to the best there is, and we're going to see that she gets it.
Yeah, but you can't do this.
Mr. Friday, do you want to hear...
No, get out of here, Miss Prue.
But it's the musicians. Don't you want to hear the trumpet call for Young England?
No, throw them out.
You're okay.
Throw them out.
Oh, my goodness, it's too late.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Why does everything happen to me? First, we haven't got a story. Then I got to listen to songs. Then a waitress drops dead on my carpet. And now trumpet. Get out, all of you. I want rest. Go to lunch. Come back in 1 hour. And you, waitress,
huh?
You go to the hospital.
Over the lunch table, Benson and I had come up with a brand new idea for Larry Tom's next picture. It was Susie's having a baby that gave it to us. As soon as we got back to CF's office, we started selling it to them.
I don't like it.
Now look, CF, and you too, Larry.
I'm looking, but
I tell you I don't
like it. Shut up, Larry. CF, I tell you, it's the greatest, most colossal...
It'll wring their hearts, CF. It'll tear them in two. You won't be able to hear Larry talk on account of the noses blowing.
Well, that's fine. That'll be a big help to my career.
Now, let me get this straight. You are suggesting we team Larry up with a baby?
Look, CF, I'll give it to you again. Larry finds a baby in the Rockies.
Larry Toms and a baby. Jerusalem, it'll kill him.
Hey, where's that waitress? Why didn't she collect these dishes? What was that? Say that again, Bob.
Look, there's a girl with a no-good gambler out of Las Vegas. She has a baby. Gambler is killed. Girl leaves baby on the ranger's doorstep. Larry is the ranger.
I can just see it now, tugging at every mother's heart. A love story between Larry and the baby.
The two outcasts, you get it? He takes the kid in, nurses him out of a can of tomato juice.
And then he meets the mother.
She wants her baby back.
She's been through the fires of hate.
A man she loved let her down.
She hates men, all men.
There she sits, bitter, brooding, cynical, but underneath, her mother's heart. Oh, I can see it all out there in the Rockies.
No, let's junk the Rockies. Back to the Foreign Legion.
Right, Benson. Casablanca. Larry's joined up to forget. He's out in the march. And he finds the baby.
He's grown up to fight the rift.
She doesn't know if he's coming back.
She's waiting, waiting.
Why does he get rid of these dishes?
We cut to the rift.
We cut back.
And we're right in the battle. The great battle of Larry gets wounded.
His father's the colonel.
Talk about Kipling.
Talk about scope sweep. What a setup.
But you can't act with a baby. They steal everything.
Shut up, Larry. The baby brings them together, splits them, brings them together.
Boy meets girl.
Boy loses girl.
Boy gets girl.
Boys, I think you got something. Let's go up and try it on the boss while it's hot.
In a moment, we will continue with the second act of Boy Meets Girl, produced by the Theater Guild on the air and sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. And here speaking for United States Steel is George Hicks.
Good evening. Next Thursday is Memorial Day, and I'm sure all of you are looking forward to your holiday with real pleasure, especially if you're fortunate enough to get away for a glorious weekend. And if you're planning a trip in your car, I'd like to make two suggestions. First, have your garage or service station go over your car thoroughly before you start on your trip. Be especially sure to check your tires, your brakes, and your cooling system. That is, your radiator, water pump, and fan belt. Second, tie a little piece of string to the very top of your steering wheel to remind yourself that you must drive even more carefully than you usually do when you get out in that heavy holiday traffic. Remember, too, that highway and automotive engineers have done a great deal to safeguard you and your loved ones. Main highways are wide, smooth, and well-marked. Modern cars and buses are miracles of protection, thanks to the work of the automobile industry and its many suppliers. United States Steel, for example, has worked with the automotive engineers for years in the development of such vital safety factors as all steel bodies and fenders. U.S. Steel has also worked with highway engineers on road building and road maintenance equipment, concrete highways reinforced with steel, white concrete reflecting curbs, steel guardrails, steel light poles, steel safety signs, and steel bridges. Yes, United States Steel is just as proud of the part it has played in reducing accidents on the road as it is in the amazing on-the-job safety record of its own family of over 200,000 workers. And speaking for the United States Steel Corporation, I wish all of you a grand holiday. Have fun, but take it easy. Let those professionals on the Indianapolis racetrack do all the speeding for the Memorial weekend.
We pause now for station identification.
Your station is KECA Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, sponsored by the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel. Tonight's play, Sam and Bella Spiewak's hilarious farce, Boy Meets Girl, stars Gene Kelly as Robert Law and features Frank Lovejoy as Tom Benson and Ruth Gilbert as Susie Siebel. Now the curtain rises on the second act. While we were upstairs selling the story idea to BK, the big boss, Susie came in to collect the dishes. Maybe it was because the tray was heavy, or maybe it was because she was, well, anyhow, she got dizzy again and decided to sit down. A couple of minutes later, an actor came in. He was the same one CF had fired before lunch.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't startle you. Where's Mr. Friday?
Oh, they all went upstairs to BK's office, and they didn't even touch their lunch.
Lunch? Did you say lunch?
Uh-huh.
Oh, would you mind if I waited here? It's rather urgent.
I know, of course not. What kind of a uniform is that you're wearing?
I'm supposed to be a Buckingham Palace guard. But...
Oh, good Lord, what am I doing?
You're eating Mr. Friday's crackers.
No, I'm awfully sorry. I don't understand.
You must be very hungry.
Oh, no, not at all.
Look, why don't you have something? They'll never eat it. You'll only be doing me a favor. I won't have so much to carry back.
Oh, you're not ready, are we?
Oh, sure I am. Try the chicken soup. We make it special for BK with 9 chickens.
Well, dash it all, I might as well.
You're English, aren't you?
Yes, of course.
I thought so. So is Ronald Coleman. And Herbert Marshall.
I say, you do go to the movies, don't you?
I like the way the English talk. It's very soothing. Of course, that's only my idea. I'm very ignorant.
Oh, I think you're very intelligent.
Oh, I am. Very intelligent. But I don't know anything.
How extraordinary.
Well, you see, I've never been to high school. Oh, but someday I'll go. That's my secret ambition. Try the pork tenderloin.
Oh, I say, won't you join me?
Oh, no, thank you. Happy doesn't like pork. He likes milk.
I'm afraid I don't quite follow.
Oh, no, but he does. Have some mustard.
Thank you. You know, I was close to wiring home for funds today, but I didn't.
You mean you need money and you can get it and you won't wire for it?
Why, no, a man has pride, you know. You see, my family don't want me to be an actor.
Why?
Well, they don't think I can act.
Can you?
No.
Well, then why don't you give it up?
Well, I told you, pride. That's why I simply must see Mr. Friday. I've got to prove to him that I was right about this uniform.
Have some pie.
Thank you. You know... You are the most extraordinary young lady.
Oh, do you really think so?
Oh, yes, I do. I think you're quite extraordinary.
You want to know something? I think you're quite extraordinary, too.
Do you really?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes, I do. I do. Really, I do.
Well, what's this? Good gad, I leave this house for 1 hour and... Hey, you extra, you've been drinking my milk.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Friday. I told him he could have it.
You told him?
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, sir. I owe you an apology. And money, of course. Will you accept my IOU?
Get out.
Yes, sir. Oh, young lady, I still don't know your name. But someday, under more auspicious circumstances, perhaps we shall meet again. Till then, au revoir.
Oh, isn't he wonderful?
You, Susie.
Huh?
Why aren't you in the hospital?
Oh.
And get those dishes out of here.
Oh, yes, sir. That's what I'm doing.
CF,
I want to tell you this.
I won't play it.
Listen, Larry, it's a great idea.
I don't care. A baby. They're all picture stealers. Everybody keeps looking at the cute little idiot, and nobody looks at me. No, sir, I won't do it.
BK is the head of this studio. If he likes it, you will play it.
Greetings, CF.
We sold it to BK.
Yep, he went for the whole story, lock, stock, and baby. Says it's the best mother love story he's heard in years.
Excuse me, please.
And you, Susie, you stay where you are.
Now, put that tray down. Now, Susie, attention.
Your undivided attention.
Oh, please, I've got to get back to the commissary with a dirty dish.
Forget the dirty dishes, Susie. Forget everything. From now on...
Just a minute. I demand to be heard. Did you or did you not sell this store to BK?
Yes.
Yes, you did or yes, you didn't. Yes, what?
Yes, jerk.
That's all I wanted to know. We'll see if two lousy writers can dictate to a star of my magnitude. I'm going up to see BK myself. And then, by gum, I'll see my agent.
Poor Mr. Toms. He was angry.
Never mind him. Now listen, Susie, and listen carefully.
Let me tell her, Benson. Susie, nature meant you for a sucker. You were designed to get the short end of the stick, the girl who gets slapped. You can't help it. You were born that way.
But we're changing all that.
That's right. Now, Susie, in real life, you'd have your baby in a county hospital. You'd work for him. You'd slave for him. And when your grateful son grew up, he'd squirt tobacco juice in your eye and join the Navy.
There you go with your lousy Vermont realism. Never mind him, Susie. Just sign this paper right here, where my finger is.
Oh, here?
That's it. Thank you.
You're welcome. What is it? What did I sign?
Just the power of attorney authorizing us to deal for you in all matters with this studio.
Wait a minute.
You get every nickel that's coming to you, Susie. Not even an agent's fee comes out.
What power of attorney? What are you boys up to?
Get this, CF, and you too, Susie. We just sold a story about a baby.
A newborn baby.
We're going to watch that baby. The first hair, the first tooth, the first smile.
First time in the history of pictures that baby's going to grow up before your eyes.
Open up like a flower.
The minute he's born, we set the cameras on him. We stay with it.
That baby's going to gurgle and google and drool his way to stardom.
But, Mr. Law...
And that baby, Susie, is happy.
Oh.
Upstairs in BK's office, we just put your unborn child into pictures. In due time, Happy was born and turned out to be a bouncing boy. The first picture he appeared in with Larry Toms was called Wandering Hearts. It was released nationwide when Happy was 7 months old. The day the first box office reports came in, we all gathered in CF's office to hold a celebration.
Read those figures again, Miss Cruz. I want to gloat.
110,000 at the music hall, 58,538 in Des Moines.
Well, I always went big in Des Moines.
Ah, quiet, Larry. Proceed, Miss Cruz.
28,300 in Hackensack.
In Hackensack? Happy's a star.
What about me? Wandering Hearts was my picture, wasn't it? Folks came to see me. They didn't come to see Happy.
Listen, you phony cowboy, while I read Variety to the assembled multitude. Wandering Hearts, Socko in Minneapolis, despite Larry Toms.
Where does it say that?
Right here.
Oh.
Boys, it's time to discuss the renewal of Happy's contract. Shall we say $300 a week for Happy, Mr. Law?
Shall we say $3,500 a week for Happy, CF?
For a crack like that, I've a good mind to have you two writers thrown out of the studio.
Happy goes with us, you know.
That's
We've
right.
still got that power of attorney.
Of course, I didn't mean that literally.
Hey! Look at this, what it says in Variety. The acting of this newborn baby is far more convincing in every detail than that of Larry Toms, the eminent thespian.
Thespian, that means actor.
I said that baby had ruined me. Well, he ain't going to steal no more pictures. I won't play that new scene with him, no sirree.
What scene, Larry?
In the new picture, I'm supposed to wash Happy.
That's a cute scene. I read it.
Am I the type that washes babies?
Why not?
It ain't manly.
No, you want the baby to wash you?
I'm going to see my agent about this.
Larry, please.
Thank you, CF. Thank you. Now, listen. We're asking $3,500 a week for Happy. We'll consider $3,000 and settle for $2,500, but not a penny less. Incidentally, Artistic Pictures will pay $2,500 for the kid. We promise to let them know in 1 hour. No hurry, of course. Come on, Benson. So Benson and I took another walk around the lot just to kill time. We had a cup of coffee in the commissary and then pitched pennies with a bootblack outside the barber shop. While we were thus engaged in earning our salary, Rossetti, Larry Tom's agent, was out conniving. When he connived to his dirty little heart's content, he went back to CF's office to talk to Larry.
Listen, Larry, I've just checked with the legal department. Happy's power of attorney, the one that Benson and Law hold, expired last week, and they don't even know it.
What's that got to do with me?
Larry, it occurs to me that you ought to be more, friendly with Susie.
Happy's mother? Don't be ridiculous.
In fact, you don't know it yet, but you're going to marry her.
Marry her?
Larry, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I can't get you a new contract the way things are now.
What?
That's what I said. But if you marry Susie, you're Happy's legal guardian, and we control the situation. A father and son team off the screen as well as on.
No, but I don't want
to... Not only will you keep your job, but there's the matter of revenge.
Revenge?
Those two hacks, Law and Benson, they've been making you jump through hoops. They hate your guts.
You mean I can get back at them for their aspersions on my artistry as an actor?
Aspersions? They said you stink. Now listen, Larry. If you marry Susie and I control Happy through a new power of attorney to replace the one that just expired, we'll be able to dictate our own terms to CF and BK.
Well, we could, huh?
Then we've got those two smart alecks where we want them. Why, we could even have him fired if we wanted to.
Fire him? Gee, I'd like that better than a chocolate sundae of two scoops.
Susie's coming down the hall. Now, you start laying the groundwork. I'll be waiting outside. And when you come out together, I'll make the pitch.
What for?
For the power of attorney, you dope, to handle Happy's new contract. Shh. Here she is.
I was looking for... Oh, hello, Larry.
Well, if it isn't Susie. How are you, Susie? Sit right down here. It's Susie, Larry.
Hello, Susie.
Well, I hope I didn't interrupt anything important. I was hoping to find Mr. Benson and Mr. Law in here.
Hey, well, they just stepped out.
Oh.
Is your chair comfortable? Would you like a pillow?
Oh, it's fine. Did I tell you I'm going to high school? I'm taking algebra now. I'm the only mother in the class.
Well, I guess I'd better be running along.
I'll go with you, Roseanne.
Why, Larry, I thought you told me you had something very important to ask Susie.
Oh, did I?
You certainly did, and... no time like the present, you know. Well, see you later.
Did you have something to say to me, Larry?
Well, Susie, I just wanted to ask you, where's Happy's father?
He's dead. He went down in a destroyer off Guadalcanal.
Is that true, Susie?
No, it's what the studio wants me to say, though.
Oh.
It's a long story. Oh, but I am a widow, honest and truly.
Are you? Uh-huh. Gee, that's great. I mean, I'm awful sorry to hear it, but, Susie, I'm mighty fond of you and Happy. Mighty fond.
Oh, are you really?
Mighty fond. Susie, I don't want you to get too excited about this, but I've been a-thinking about you and Happy. Thinking a lot.
Have you, Larry?
Ever since the day you come into this office and had a spasm on that there floor, I said to myself, Larry, there's your leading lady for life. Susie, I'm asking for your hand in marriage.
Hiya, Susie. How's the little mother?
Where's CF, Larry? Is he going to sign Happy's new contract or isn't he?
I have no idea. Care to go for a stroll, Susie? We could have an ice cream soda. I'll pay.
Well, I'd like to talk to Mr. Law and Mr. Benson first. You go ahead, Larry.
By the way, I got me two tickets to the opening of that new picture tonight, Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Oh, gee, the big opening? Oh, I'd love to go, Larry.
It's just around the corner from the studio. We can walk there.
Well, adios.
You better beat it too, Susie. We got no time for you today. We still need an opening for Happy's new picture.
Oh, do you think Mr. Friday will sign Happy's contract?
Why, of course he'll sign.
Oh.
Come on, let's go. Fade in the zoo. A long shot of Larry.
Oh, I just wanted to thank you, Mr. Law and Mr. Benson, for all you've done for Happy.
You're welcome. Oh. Now he's crossing the road. Bang. The dame comes tearing down 90 miles an hour.
Let's give her a little character, Benson. You know, three dimensions.
Sure, sure. She's a high-handed floozy. Society girl. Why, you lousy bum, she snarls.
Boy, I've just got to ask you something.
Not now, Susie. Fade out.
Fade in.
And then I'll go.
All right, Susie. What is it?
Do you think I should marry Larry Thomas?
No, a fade-in.
That's it. The girl's home, a pension. Did he ask you to marry him?
Yes.
Did you spit in his face?
He's taking me to the opening of the new picture tonight. He said he's mighty fond of Happy and me.
Mighty fond.
Listen, let's get on with this. Introducing the fiancé, a pale, anemic lout.
Right. The minute the audience sees him, they yell, "Don't marry that heel."
You boys were so sweet to me, but I wanted to ask your advice.
Don't marry him. Marry anyone else.
But there's no one I like. Except maybe that Englishman who was hungry that day. I liked him very much.
Personally, I would even prefer a hungry Englishman. Now beat it.
Yeah, get out. We're busy.
But,
get out.
There was something more important. It's about Happy. I've just got to talk to you.
Get out.
Oh.
Where were we, Bob?
Long shot on Larry.
No. Close up, Happy.
Good. Now, a trucking shot. The kid's in his baby buggy.
Cut to a medium shot.
Stay on it.
Fade out.
Good.
Medium shot?
No, a pan shot.
Right, then lap dissolve.
That's the way...
Hello, boys. Well, don't tell me you're working. Have a cigar.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Rossetti, the agent. Fade out, stooge. We're busy.
Same old boys. Anything for a gag. Well, I'm feeling pretty good myself. I've just set Larry to a long-term contract. Nice little setup. A joint contract with Happy.
With Happy?
You're crazy.
Ask Susie. She says she tried to talk to you, but you weren't interested. And I happen to know your power of attorney expired.
Is this on the level?
How much did you get for Happy?
$300.
Why, you crooked louse, we turned down $1,500 from Artistic.
You should have taken it. Or gotten a renewal when your power of attorney expired. Anyway, what's the difference? It's all in the family now. You see, Susie's going to marry Larry Toms.
Who thought this up? You?
Sure.
Why, you scavenging, blood-sucking crook!
Now, you guys better be careful the way you talk to me. And you better be careful about the way you talk to Larry from now on. He's fed up with your gags and insults. You got away with a lot around here because you had Happy. Well, Larry's got him now, and he's going to have plenty to say around here. I'm warning you. He'd like to see you boys off this lot, and he's in a position to do it now. So be careful if you want to keep your jobs. So long, suckers.
Well, what do you know?
What do I know? Benson, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. Now they'll fire me, and I'll have to go back to Vermont and write that novel.
Don't talk that way. What about my debts? The process servers are driving me nuts as it is. They'll have me in Alcatraz in a week.
It'll do you good. When you get out, you'll have enough material for a B picture. You'll write with authority and realism.
Will you shut up? What about the alimony to my two wives?
Let them go to work.
But I want to stay in pictures. I love pictures. Bob, we got to break up this thing between Susie and Larry. If we don't and I get fired, I think there must be a way. I got to hold on to my job.
I will not sully my brain with schemes involving a tawdry $1,500 a week. After all, what is money?
Oh, it's not the money I'm thinking about. It's the gag.
Huh?
If we could only put one over on Larry. That's it. A hoax. A practical joke. The biggest belly laugh this town has ever...
What do you mean?
But don't you see? If we could turn the tables on that phony cowboy, it'd be the climax of our career.
The climax, huh? The gag to top all gags.
That's it. Boy, oh boy, I only wish I could work this out by myself. I wish I didn't have to share the glory.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Benson, I've got it.
I knew you'd come through. Bob,
Benson,
I know...
Benson, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to produce Happy's father on the air tonight.
At the opening? When they interview the celebrities? That's great. That's marvelous.
Then we'll get rid of them. Hide them out someplace.
Where?
Who cares where? I'll fix it up with publicity to get Susie interviewed in the lobby. Then when she's on the air, we'll spring it. Oh, the big problem is, where do we get the father?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I was looking for Mr. Friday.
Wait a minute. Come in, young man. Come in. What is your name?
Rodney Bevan.
Your face looks familiar. Are you an actor?
Oh, well, yes. I saw you two gentlemen in here one day. The day I was wearing a guard uniform for Young England.
Yeah, say. Benson, what do you think? Do you think he'll do for that part we were discussing?
That part. Why, Yes. He's got an English accent.
Well, that adds class, distinction. Nothing's too good for Susie.
Do you really think I'll do?
Yes. Yes, I do. Benson, get at the typewriter. Take these lines.
Oh, there are lines. Then the fee will be $25, I assume.
$100 for you.
We're going to shoot this just around the corner in the lobby of Grauman's Chinese Theater at the opening tonight. You know, when the crowds pour in to watch the celebrities. Now, there'll be a girl at the microphone. Her name is Susie.
You come running up to her. You're dressed in the uniform of the United States Marines.
Right. You run up to her and you say, are you ready, Benson?
Sure.
You say, Susie, why did you leave me? Say it.
Susie, why did you leave me?
With feeling.
Susie, why did you leave me?
I'm Happy's father.
I'm Happy's father.
Louder.
I'm Happy's father.
I did not go down in that destroyer off Guadalcanal, as you told the newspapers.
I did not go down in that destroyer off Guadalcanal, as you told the newspapers.
Good. Now get this, Rodney, with feeling. Susie, where is our child?
Susie, where is our child?
That'll fix it. Brother, that'll fix it good.
In a moment, we will continue with the third act of Boy Meets Girl, produced by the Theater Guild on the air and sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. Here again, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
During the past week, groups all over the country have celebrated National Foreign Trade Week. The celebrations were intended to make us all more conscious of the importance of foreign trade, of world trade. Today, more than ever before, the welfare of every nation is firmly linked to that of all others. And one of the things which contributes most to the welfare of all is a healthy flow of international trade. Mutually satisfactory trade relationships between all countries foster world peace. By contributing to the national and international prosperity of all peoples, and by helping to establish a better understanding of different national cultures, interests, and necessities, international trade has been, and will continue to be, a powerful factor in international peace. The free exchange of goods, services, and ideas among all nations is thus a vitally important factor in achieving the era of peace and prosperity so fervently desired by all of us. One member of the United States Steel family has long been a leader in international trade. For over 40 years, the United States Steel Export Company has been providing steel and products of steel to every nation on earth. Wherever men have needed steel, the export company has been ready to supply it. There are bridges in China, warehouses in Africa, and oil derricks in South America, all serving useful purposes, all contributing to the prosperity of their communities, and all built of lasting steel provided by the United States Steel Export Company. Serving all peoples of all nations, providing steel for every purpose, and helping them to use those products for better living is the job of this member of the industrial family that serves our nation, United States Steel.
And now the curtain rises on the third act of Sam and Bella Spiewak's famous comedy success, Boy Meets Girl, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation, starring Gene Kelly as Robert Law and featuring Frank Lovejoy as Tom Benson and Ruth Gilbert as Susie Seabrook.
That night, Rodney and I went to the opening at Grauman's Chinese Theater. The crowd of celebrities in the lobby was terrific. Rodney and I remained hidden in a dark corner. I didn't let him see anything of what was going on so that he couldn't get suspicious. Meanwhile, Mr. C.F. Friday was in his office in the studio talking to my collaborator, Benson. They were cutting our new picture, Young England. Benson had one ear cocked to the radio.
Benson, turn to page 94 and read that scene.
Okay, C.F., I'm reading it. Now what?
Now be sure to stand by, folks. The big event is about to go on the air. The premiere of Cecil X. D. Christopher's...
Benson, I told you to turn the radio off.
Wait a minute, C.F., I want to hear it.
And now, folks, I'm told that none other than Larry Toms is with us tonight. There he is. And who is that I see hanging on his manly arm? Why, it's none other than Mrs. Susan Saybrook, mother of America's favorite child star, Happy. Oh, Mrs. Saybrook. Would you mind saying a few words over our microphone?
Will you turn that thing off?
No, I want to hear our little Susie.
Good evening, everybody. Happy sends you all his love. He would love to meet you one by one and thank you from the bottom of his little heart.
Not bad.
Thank
Not
you, bad Mrs. Seabrook. And now, folks, meet Larry Toms, the lovable cowboy star. Larry, a little bird has whispered to me that you and Mrs. Saybrook are contemplating marriage. Is that true?
Well, to tell you the truth, that is. Shucks. Well, I kind of missed a little fellow after the day's work was done. And,
yes?
So I guess pretty soon I'll be Happy's father off the screen as well as all.
Stop! I am Happy's father! I did not go down in that destroyer of Guadalcanal.
Why, it's you!
I've been fighting with the United States Marines. Oh, Susie, I've searched for you in the four corners of the earth.
Young man, get away from here. Police! Susie, police!
Where is our child?
Folks, that voice you heard was a young man, a United States Marine. He threw his arms around Happy's mother and he kissed her. She recognized him. There's some confusion. The crowd is getting out of control. They're pushing, they're shoving. Help! Help!
Good God! What do you make of it, Benson? C.F., it's the strangest thing I ever heard.
Miss Cruz!
Yes, Mr. Friday.
Get hold of Susie Seabrook immediately. If the newspapers call up, tell them I have nothing to say. Not a word. Except that it's a lie. A dirty lie.
Yes, Mr. Friday.
Benson, do you think that young man was genuine?
Sounded like it to me. Hello?
Yes?
Well, Mr. Friday's not here. What's that? You think it sounds like his voice?
You're nuts! You're nuts! Anyway, I haven't got anything to say to the press.
I just came from Grauman's Chinese Theater, and I
well,
want to tell
well,
you...
Well, if it isn't Larry and his 10% friend, Rossetti.
Shut up, Benson.
Now, Larry, calm down.
I'll calm down.
Where's Susie Seabrook? What did you do with her?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Look here, Larry, I want to know what Susie said. Did she know the young man? What did she say?
Now, you listen to me, what I got to say. You too, Rossetti. Now, get this. I'm not going to marry Susie.
That's great, Larry. Congratulations.
Shut up, Benson. But why, Larry? Why?
Why? Because she lied to me, that's why. She told me she was a widow. And now this guy appears and says he's Happy's father. And that he was with the Marines on Guadalcanal all this time.
But, Larry, suppose this fella's lying.
Lying? How could he be? Didn't he say he was in the Marines? A Marine couldn't lie. Why, they're the greatest, the noblest. Are you inferring that the United States Marines are cowards?
Yeah, well, no, go ahead.
Well, through, do you hear? Through. There we were on the air with all my fans listening in. Oh, it was awful. I'm serving notice on you now, all of you. I ain't marrying Susie. I ain't getting the United States Marine Corps down on me. And what's more, I ain't doing no more pictures with an unbaptized baby. If it's the last thing I do, I'm breaking my contract.
Bob. That you, Bob?
Yeah, it's me, Benson. What are you doing out here in front of CF's office at this hour of the night? You were supposed to meet me inside.
Where were you? What held you up?
Never mind. How did it come over the air?
Terrific. I just want to ask you, Bob, what did you do with the Englishman, Rodney?
Why, I got him locked up, of course.
Where?
Where I just came from, in the ladies' room, in the commissary.
Here, in the studio?
Well, where else could I put him?
You dope, every cop in L.A. is looking for him.
Yeah?
They swore in 800 special deputies, all looking for the Marine who said he was Happy's papa. Why didn't you drop him somewhere else?
And leave him free to roam and blab?
If they catch him, we're sunk. We'll be on the blacklist for life.
Hooray! Then I can go back to Vermont.
Will you shut up with that Vermont?
You know, I had a lot of trouble with Rodney. In his own peculiar English fashion, he's not entirely nitwitted. I had to shove him at the mic, and he's been demanding explanations ever since.
Get that guy out of the studio. Put him on a plane to Mexico. Strangle him. I don't care what you do. Who's that?
Why, it's Susie.
Oh, Mr. Law, I tried to reach you at your hotel. Something terrible. I tried to get you to
now,
Mr. Benson.
Now, Susie, we know. It's all right.
Oh, I was so ashamed. I didn't even see the picture.
There you are, Law, and you, Benson. I've been looking for you.
Why, hello, CF. What are you doing out at this
just
time?
Just one moment. Young man, step forward.
Why, it's Rodney again. Oh, Rodney, I'm disappointed in you. You told a lie.
But,
yes, you did. You're not happy, Spock.
But, Susie, I can explain.
One moment, please. Now then, Mr. Law, Mr. Benson, I ask you, did you ever see this young man before?
Never saw him before in my life.
He looks like a young man my sister was engaged to in Brattleboro, but no, he's not the one. That fellow wore a toupee.
Very funny, very funny. Now I ask you, young man, what did you say your name was?
Rodney Bevan.
I ask you, Mr. Bevan, did you ever see them before?
I most certainly did. They paid me $100 to say those lines into the microphone at the opening tonight. Then this one here...
His name is Law.
...locked me in the ladies' room in the commissary. Why, if it hadn't been for the cleaning woman, I'd be there yet.
It's a lie.
A false canard spread by our enemies.
Rodney, why did you do it? You know you're not Happy's father.
Of course not.
Boys, this is the last prank you'll ever play. You better go to school and study some other profession. You'll never write another movie in Hollywood. You're through.
Seen you for a long time. Is Mr. Law with you?
Mr. Law and I are not speaking.
Why not?
Because I'm out of a job and I can't get one without him. And he, it seems, is going back to Vermont.
Oh.
Oh, roses. Who sent them to you, Larry?
No, it was Rodney. Mr. Bevan, I mean.
You mean you've been seeing that English jerk?
Oh, no. But he's been sending me flowers every day.
Excuse me. May I come in?
Why, Mr. Law.
Hello, Susie.
Don't you want to say hello to Mr. Benson?
No. I just came to say goodbye to you and Happy.
Oh, where are you going?
To Vermont, where I belong.
Oh.
Where you can touch life and feel it and write it. I am not happy in Hollywood.
Really? When does the great exodus begin?
In exactly 1 hour, Mr. Benson, I will be on the plane.
And in exactly 1 week, Mr. Law, you will be back.
Back to what? This lousy sunshine? Listen, I've got me a little shack overlooking the valley, and I'm going to cook my own food, chop my own wood, and write. Oh, Benson, what a book that's going to be. I'm going to bare my soul. Going to write life in the raw. I've got the opening all planned. Two rats in a sewer.
Sounds delightful.
Oh, my. I'm having a lot of visitors today. Come in. Oh, it's you, Rodney. Go away. And I don't want any more roses.
Well, Susie, if you don't want them, I'd like you to give them to Happy. Here.
Happy's not allowed to have flowers. He's got the measles. Oh, by the way, There was somebody here looking for you, Major...
Major Allingham.
Oh, yeah,
yes, I left word I'd be here.
Yeah, he said he had something for you.
My passport. I'm going home, Susie. Back to England.
Oh.
Susie, before I go... look here, I ask you before these two gentlemen. Will you marry me?
What?
Throw him out, Susie.
I've thought it all out, Susie, and I want you to marry me.
Well, I don't think you'd make a very sensible father for Happy.
Of course, I'm not very bright.
You can say that again.
But I'm not really at my best these days. Most people aren't when they're infatuated.
Oh, you couldn't be infatuated with me.
Oh, couldn't I? You are free to marry, aren't you?
Well, yes. You see, I really am a widow. Although I was never married. It's complicated.
This I would like to hear.
Well, you see, the man I married had a Mexican divorce. Although I didn't know it at the time I married him.
Go on, Susie, dear.
And then, well, I found out the divorce wasn't recognized in the United States. I didn't like that.
Naturally.
So, when I told him I didn't like it, he went to his ex-wife. Oh, she lived in Medicine Hat, Indiana. Isn't that a funny name? I always laugh when I say it. Medicine Hat.
That's very funny. Proceed.
Well, he went to her, and he asked her for an American divorce. He said she could go to Reno. Well, she said she wouldn't go to Reno. So he said he'd go to Reno. So she said, all right, you go to Reno. So he went to Reno.
So he went to Reno.
Well, you know, it takes 90 days in Reno. And all this time, his wife was sitting back there in Medicine Hat, brooding. Oh, she was very unhappy. I think she still loved him.
Okay, so she loved him.
So she followed him to Reno. Only she arrived too late. On the very day the divorce came through.
Then what did she do?
She shot him.
She shot him.
Yep. 6 shots. They all took effect. He died.
Well.
For Susie... Then you are free to marry, aren't you?
Oh, I'm free. But the point is, do I want to? After all, I don't know you very well. You might have a Mexican divorce, too.
Oh, I assure you.
And not only that, but every time we meet, something terrible happens.
Here, here.
Susie, you ask our advice once, and I'm giving it to you now. Throw him out.
No, wait a minute. I want to ask him something. Mr. Bevan, when I come into a room, does something happen to you?
Of course. Very much so.
Oh.
Why'd you say oh?
Because every time you come into a room, something happens to me, too.
Does it really?
Susie?
Oh, Rodney.
Oh, Susie.
Susie, do my eyes deceive me? Are you kissing an actor?
An English actor?
Boys, I've just been thinking it over. And I'm going to marry Rodney.
Him? Without our consent?
Yes. Because I love him.
This bankrupt beachcomber. Don't make me laugh, Susie.
Come in.
I beg your pardon. Could you tell me if Mr. Rodney Bevan...
Oh, hello, Major. Looking for me?
Oh, there you are, Rodney. I've got your passport.
Thank you, Major. And now, will you be so kind as to tell these gentlemen who I am?
So delighted. Mr. Bevan's father is Lord Saveringham. The Lord Saveringham who...
His father?
Why, yes.
Rodney, is your father a lord?
Well, it doesn't matter, does it?
No, I guess it's all right.
If I can be of any further service, Rodney.
No, thank you, Major. I think we'll sail along beautifully.
Well, then, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, I think we'd better go now, Bob. I don't believe her ladyship has any further need of our advice.
Oh, do you have to go?
Yes, m'lady.
You too, Mr. Law?
Yes, m'lady.
Mr. Law, please don't drink too much back there in Vermont.
Thank you, m'lady. Well, Benson, that's how it is. That's life. The poor little extra marries the waitress and he turns out to be an English lord.
And you want to go back to Vermont.
Huh?
With the greatest stories of our careers handed to us on a platter. Look at it. Cinderella, Prince Charming.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? What else but? Boy meets girl, boy loves girl, boy gets girl. Only this time he's an English lord and she's a waitress. A brand new twist. Why, we could write the thing in a week. There isn't a studio in town who wouldn't pay through the nose for it.
Benson, I think you've got something there. Let's see now. Opening shot, the Queen Mary.
Cut to the deck. First class passengers only.
No. Third class. Rodney's traveling incognito.
Right. Medium shot, Rodney at the railing.
He's looking at the Statue of Liberty.
Close shot, he waves his hand.
Long shot, the Statue of Liberty waves back.
curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild production of Boy Meets Girl, presented by the United States Steel Corporation. Gene Kelly was starred as Robert Law. Frank Lovejoy was featured as Tom Benson and Ruth Gilbert as Susie Seabrook. Paul Crabtree played Larry Toms, Philip Loeb, C.F., Chester Stratton, Rodney Bevan, Leon Janney, Rossetti, Edwin Jerome, Cobb Flash, and Major Allington. Helen Shields was Miss Cruz. Royal Beale was Mr. Green. Helen Wagner, Peggy, and Richard Rober was Slade and the radio announcer. Now here's Lawrence Langner to tell you about next week's Theater Guild play to be presented by the United States Steel Corporation. Mr. Langner.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've appropriately selected for our last play of this season Dodie Smith's famous comedy, Call It a Day, starring Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne. 20 times have Mr. Lunt and Miss Fontanne starred together in Theater Guild plays. They are currently appearing in the delightful Broadway comedy, Oh, Mistress Mine. So if you listen in next Sunday, you'll hear Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne in the gay and witty comedy of family life, Call It a Day. With this presentation, the Theater Guild on the Air will also call it a season for the summer months. And here is Mr. Brokenshire again with an announcement about United States Steel's summer program.
2 weeks from tonight, United States Steel will bring you the first production of its summer series, The Hour of Mystery, presenting the greatest stories of intrigue and adventure ever brought to radio. Stories by such masters of mystery as Eric Ambler, Dashiell Hammett, and Van Wyck Mason. The first program on the new U.S. Steel Mystery Hour will be Eric Ambler's gripping novel of international espionage, Background to Danger. And it will star the famous English actor, Laurence Olivier. That's 2 weeks from tonight, same time, same station. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next week at this same time when the Theater Guild on the Air will present Dodie Smith's warm and witty comedy, Call It a Day, starring Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne. Remember, next week, Call It a Day. And remember, too, that when you see the USS label on any product, it means the steel is good. Gene Kelly appeared tonight through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the motion picture Two Sisters from Boston, with Jimmy Durante, who is celebrating his 30th year in show business. Staff for the Theater Guild on the Air includes Homer Fickett, director, George Condolf, producer, and Armina Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music for tonight's play was composed and conducted by Harold Levy, and the play adapted for radio by Arthur Aaron. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Thank you for tuning in once again to the Old Time Radio Hour. Next week, we will bring you another play adapted for radio by Theater Guild on the Air. I'm Justine Ward, your host. So long for now.